Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 201. I'm Tim Riley. Don't miss the annual Teddy Bear Toss this Saturday night when your Winterhawks take on Seattle at the Coliseum. Why don't you bring a new teddy bear and throw it on the ice when Portland scores the first goal? Get tickets at Ticketmaster or go to WinterHawks.com.
Why would you do that?
For fun.
Okay.
Why not throw a teddy bear on the ice?
Because it makes you look like a retard.
These are hockey fans we're talking about.
All right. Okay. Well, it makes you look like a different breed of retard. Sorry. It makes you look like a slightly different class of nitwit. All right. Never mind. Go ahead.
It doesn't say the size of the teddy bear. I mean, it's good, clean, wholesome family fun.
Okay.
I mean, you could be like a basketball player doing something worse.
People ought to just go to the Blazers game and just throw bongs on the court.
You don't hear teddy bear throwing going on at the Rose Garden.
Just make it like they ought to just throw business cards for bail bondsmen out there on the court.
Firefighters are at the scene of a 2-alarm fire in a large supermarket in northeast Portland. The fire broke out in the back room of Pacific Market at 6750 Northeast Broadway. Apparently some repair workers sparked the fire by working to fix a cardboard baler in a storage room. Then the co-owner of a Roseburg-era construction firm died after being killed by a rock crusher. 45-year-old Ronald Weekly is co-owner of Weekly Brothers Construction. He was trying to pry some rocks loose. We won't go into gory details about
that. Jesus.
We don't need that.
A rock crusher. I thought that just happened in shoddy Indiana Jones movies. I didn't think that anybody was actually rock crushed to death.
People do this for a living.
Yeah.
All right. The brothers are grinding the rocks for a Pacifico hydroelectric project on the North Umpqua River, so there's some tough jobs out there to do. Let's see what else we have here. A testing organization found that Oregon's neighbor to the north, Washington, sets a much larger target for its students when it comes to testing. A new study was done on states throughout the country. Oregon's reading and math standards fell somewhere in the middle of the pack. The study was done by the Northwest Evaluation Association. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Showers decreasing, rain coming in tonight and lasting clear through Thanksgiving. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
All right, 5-0. Sorry? Am I going here?
No, you're good. Why don't you go?
Was that my fault? Did I completely step where I wasn't supposed to? Yeah, that's my fault. All right. It's 503-250, because this is normally I would do a thing here and then I would just give it back to Tim, right?
Well, normally now that Tim is done, then I fire off the stuff and we do all the produced parts coming back and the
then
music.
And then I say a thing and then there's more Tim.
And then there's more Tim. But
you blew it.
You've stepped on that, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go straight to this part of it and give you a little bed for your monologue, right, and you can talk and do what you want to do, and we'll go back to Tim when you're ready.
Let's forget this whole unpleasant incident happened. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's a Rick Emerson show. Oh, by the way, if you're into that sort of a thing, what's his name? Mark Hompus from Blink-182 is the co-host with Jimmy Kimmel all this week. I'm going to be checking that out. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's a Rick Emerson show. Coming up here in just a minute, we'll finish our Jolie segment for today. Coming up later on, we got today's top five greatest albums of all time, according to the folks at Rolling Stone magazine. And we got this piercing story that a guy named Zach sent to us about. It starts with piercing, and then it ends with sitting down to pee. So I'm going to kind of let you put that together in your head for now, and then we'll explicate it later. We got some disturbing Michael Jackson news we're going to get to as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. So Rob from the House of Rick is bringing a turkey. You're bringing the fryer. Somebody's bringing crab cakes. I'm bringing the tofurkey and the corn. Sarah's bringing wine.
Sure. Well, I can bring whatever. I don't care.
All right. Richard Nunn is going to bring beer. Somebody's going to bring dessert at some point. We got to find somebody to bring dessert.
I know the low's coming in, so we ought to have the low bring something in.
All right. All right. So that's all coming up on Thursday. We'll be doing our annual Thanksgiving show. We're here with Jolie from the front desk, and we'll wrap this up here before we get back to Tim correctly this time. So So the question was, you had a woman emailed you, and she wanted to know if telling a guy she wanted to save herself for marriage would lose her boyfriends. And the short answer is yes. Because guys are interested in being first. Here's the thing. Guys are interested in kind of being the first to be there, but they're not really willing to invest any time into that. Guys aren't really willing to spend a lot of time, unless the only time The only time that guys will really, really invest a lot of time in waiting for that girl so they can be the first to have sex with her is if they've got a steady stream of people on the other, you know, on the side that they're doing it with in the meantime. And that's just going to screw her, you know, in the long run. She's just, you know, she's going to get the shaft at the end of things because that guy's just going to be waiting for her to give it up and then he's going to dump her. That's it, man.
No wonder this world is in such chaos. And I didn't want to bring this point. I wanted to do it before the segment ended last,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Right.
Because I know we're just going to get in a huge fight. But basically, you know, if you guys could keep your dang wang in your pants for like more than 5 minutes, we might be able to get something done around here. I mean, just...
What are we trying to get done?
I don't understand what that means.
Okay, Viagra, you know, Rogaine,
yeah.
Penis pumps, all this crap, you know. If we took all that money and spent it on something, you know, productive, we might have a cure for cancer
or
something.
You know, if women would just give it up a lot more easily, we get things done because men wouldn't have to spend like 80% of their time trying to get women to sleep with them, which is what they do.
Well, you shouldn't have to try because we shouldn't have to sleep with you if we don't want to.
I'm with you on the fact that we shouldn't have to try.
We shouldn't just have to lay down for any guy who wants it.
Clearly you don't. That's the whole point. Clearly we do. We have to work at it. That's what I'm saying. Look, men spend about 80% of their waking hours trying to get women to sleep with them. You know, and if it wasn't just such a big freaking chore, if we could just get a little easier, then we could spend, you know,
making
the world a better place.
No, you would just be off trying to sleep with somebody else that you didn't sleep with yet. Don't even try to tell me you'd be working on some cure for cancer.
No, that is true. Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying, think of if we could cure all social ills, if we just didn't have to worry about... You know, having enough time left over in the day to get some girl in bed. You know, we could just, work on writing a best-selling novel.
Yeah, whatever.
Larry Flint actually tells this great story where he, you know, when he was in the early days of Hustler magazine, he would be there and he was, you know, he was like Hefner. In the early days, he did it all. You know, he wrote everything. He took a lot of the photographs. He was the editor. He was the, you know, he did the layouts. So he tells this story about being at the Hustler office, and he just had a couple women that he kept like in a side room somewhere. He just sort of kept them in a little alcove off his office. And so he would sit there at his typewriter, just writing stuff, you know, writing the magazine, taking the photos, doing the layout, cropping everything, putting it together. And he said every so often he would just start to get really, you know, horny, and he would be really frustrated by it, and he would just be all hot and bothered, getting anything done. And so he would just, like, he had, like, a little bell on his desk, and he would just, like, ring the bell on his desk, and one of the girls would come out and just service him.
God.
5 minutes later, done, back to work.
That is sad.
No, but if he hadn't had those girls there, he would have, you know, it takes 2-4 hours out of your day, go out, find some girl, buy her a drink, take her home, you know.
Oh, that's BS.
Get her to get in, then you got to spend another 3-4 hours getting her to leave afterwards. All in the meantime, you're not getting any work done. So, I mean, if you could just have, you know, just sort of a little closet full of girls sitting there at any given time, so you just get it. In other words, if you didn't have to spend so much time chasing it, you could, you know, use your energy to, you know, make the world a better place and feed the starving peoples in Uganda.
You should just go pay for your hoes then and quit hurting the real women
that matter.
Well,
it's all the way
down
in Nevada. It's like
there's hoes everywhere,
and hours,
Rick.
And hours away. All right. Let's get Dave. He's a full-time listener in Forest Grove. What's up, Dave?
Hey, there's something kind of erotic about Jolie there, but I think I'm just weird. I got a story for you. I'm kind of like that dick you were talking about earlier. I met a woman, and at the time I met her, she was kind of easy. She was a bartender.
Yeah.
So when I started dating her 3-4 months later, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. She decided that she was going to quit being a hoe and, like, not give it to me. So being determined, I waited 6 months, and when I finally had sex with her, she really wasn't that good. So, A, it wasted my time, and B, I ended up dumping her, and she was hurt, and
havoc
ensued.
Yeah, and nobody comes out on top. Everybody's the loser there. You know?
If she'd have just been good and give it up first, you know, then that might have saved us all 6 months.
If she'd just given it up at the beginning, you would have realized that she was bad in bed. She would have realized that you were a jerk. You both would have gone on to better people, and you would have saved, like, 6 months of your life. You're
and
never going
to
get back.
To do it to her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, man. It's, you know, so it's a much simpler game. I think women, some women anyway, they want to make it so much more complex than it is. And it really is a lot simpler. In fact, it's so simple and easy that it's like you can't, that you don't want to accept it, Jolie.
No, because it's not, Rick. It is not.
Men aren't difficult to figure out.
There's so much involved, Rick.
There's
so much at stake.
I guess in your world. You know what this is? This is like that thing where you look at the picture of the two silhouetted faces, and then suddenly you realize you're looking at a picture of a white candlestick. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's the picture that turns into something else. That's what it is, man. It's like you look and see something that's completely different from what all men see. You know, men see it as being a lot easier than you will ever acknowledge that it is.
Well, that's the way the world is, isn't
it? Yes. All right, there's Jolie from the front desk. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
It's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Tony Blair will make an appearance on The Simpsons. The Prime Minister has provided his voice for the episode entitled The Regina Monologues, in which America's favorite cartoon family visits England. The episode is the 15th series for the hit show from the 15th series. Sees the family coming to London for a holiday and to be met by Mr. Blair at Heathrow Airport, who invites them back to number 10 for tea. A Wyoming teenager has enlisted the help of the ACLU in fighting a same-sex date ban at her high school. In September, Amanda Blair tried to defy the ruling by taking another young woman to the homecoming dance at Big Piney High School in Big Piney, Wyoming. They were kept out by sheriff's deputies at the request of school officials.
Yeah, Big Piney, Wyoming sounds like an open-minded place, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does.
Lickskillet, Virginia.
So that's that. Hey, kids, why not ask Mom and Dad for some violent toys this Christmas? Here's the big list of them. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Power Rangers.
What year is this?
This is brand new.
Is there any... Kids aren't still wanting those things.
Apparently so.
It's like buying your
turtles. They will now.
It's like buying your kid a Taste of Honey album or something.
Power Rangers Ninja Storm. Transformers. Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment.
Do they make new toys anymore? Or are they just recycling the old ones? Everything they've got so far is something I had when I was like 12.
Jake 2, the Naughty Dog video game.
Okay.
The Hulk. X-Men, Spider-Man.
And these are what?
The most violent games or toys.
All right.
And we also have Too Fast, Too Furious. It's a video game. The Matrix, Reloaded DVD. Terminator and Manhunt. That's a Rockstar video game.
If I was a parent, I would buy my kid nothing but violent toys and video games because you want them to get desensitized to violence early so they're not traumatized later on in their life. You know what I mean? It's a violent world, and the sooner you acclimate them to that, you know, the better off they're going to be. It's going to be fewer therapy. Like, you know what it is? It's like keeping your kids from having violent video games or watching violent I did nothing but watch violent media my entire life, man. Television shows, movies, whatever it is, man. I was marinated and basted in violence my entire childhood, and I'm, you know, and as a result, I'm not bothered by it now. It's like if you shield your kid from violent or repellent programming, you know, then he's going to be like one of those nutty homeschooled kids, and those they're all nuts. Oh, homeschool kids are all freaky. They've all got that weird thousand-yard stare going on. And it's because there's the disconnect between what they're taught the world is going to be and the real world. I mean, they've all got this weird kind of Charlie Starkweather vibe about them. I mean, you don't want any part of that.
So ask for violent video games this Christmas. You did.
Ask for them by name.
Next year is when it happens. I'm Tim Riley.
You'll know it's swell. It's from Mattel. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the lovely and talented Kristen from accounting. What's up?
Hey, I was just telling Sarah that I will bring... Can you hear me? Sorry,
yes.
I'm on my cell phone.
Yes.
I will bring dessert.
Sweet. Is that is that code for something?
It can be if you want it to be.
Bring Daddy the sweet, sweet dessert for later. Yeah.
No, I'll bring a pie or something. I mean, I can't guarantee it'll be as good as some of the other pies you might have.
It won't be Matt's mom quality, but, you know, then again, what really is?
But it'll be from me, so that'll be good.
Excellent. Well done.
My mom makes a mean pie.
We got everything covered here. We're ready to roll.
No, we still don't have the full. We don't have potatoes. We don't have stuffing. No, you need that kind of stuff.
Is this? Are you just like hoping to go on and just have people bring this to you? Is this your whole thing? You're just going to go on the air like with a hat in your hand and?
No, I'm just saying if we're gonna do a whole thing here.
Everyone's gonna feel sorry for Matt.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Everybody's gonna feel sorry for Matt.
And Matt's the only one on the show whose family is actually in town.
My family's not going to be in town. My family's actually leaving town for the holidays, which I am unable to attend because I've been informed that I'm working for the man,
as it were. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's such a hard knock life for
Matt. My family's all getting together down south.
All right, let's all be traumatized. All right, so you will be here on Thursday, though.
I will be.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
And, you know, can I just make a quick comment to Jolie?
Yeah, I
know she's not there anymore, but, you know, women, what is the one thing that we have learned over and over and over again? That men are physical. you cannot have a successful relationship unless a man has sex with you.
All right. There you go. And that's the way it is.
Did she just hang up?
I think so. I think she was punctuating. There you go. Peace, and I'm out. There you go. That's Kristen. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. A couple things to... I'm going to read you this little bit of Michael Jackson. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the layout here. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a little flow chart. I'm going to read you this little piece of Michael Jackson news. We're going to read you this disturbing email about piercing. Then we're going to break. Then we're going to come back with today's top five. See, hang tight. But we got this. This is from the New York... We hinted at this earlier when we were talking to Jim Roof. This is from the New York Post. Subject, the headline of this story, Jacko's Love Letters to Boy. This is from today. This is by David K. Lee. Suspected child molester Michael Jackson penned sex-laced love letters and poems. Imagine sex poetry written by Michael Jackson. I mean, there's nothing you can think of that sets off your oogometer, you know, like that. Ugh. Penned sex-laced love letters and poems to his 12-year-old accuser. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? The explicit missives were seized by cops, The boys said, apparently, the boy told investigators where they were. The letters were among evidence seized, along with videotapes. They are very explicit and intimate, and show a degree of familiarity. Basically, they appear to be love letters from Michael Jackson to the boy, which kind of begs the question, if they're love letters from Michael Jackson to the kid, why are they at Neverland? You know what I mean? Did he give them to the kid? I mean, presuming this is true. Did he give them to the kid and then the kid gave them back? Or the kid read them there and they kept him? Like Michael gave them to him? Like these can't
well,
leave?
Well, wasn't Tim saying earlier that they think that the family, this kid's family,
oh,
was
they
living
lived there?
There
for a while. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they lived there. Unless he was just like keeping copies of everything, which, you know, who knows? All right.
Maybe he has a book deal.
The telegram, the collected letters of Michael Jackson. The Telegraph also reported that Jackson's accuser, who is believed to be battling cancer, he's a little Latin kid from the Martin Bashir interview, told cops that the Jackson's pet name for him was Rubba, R-U-B-B-A.
No.
Rubba. It gets worse, of course. He said Jackson called him Rubba because one of the games they used to play was called Rubba Rubba, the newspaper source said. The boy said, quote, Michael Jackson told me he was my Rubba Rubba friend. The boy first told this to his therapist and then repeated it to police. Well, that's disturbing. There you go. That's probably the worst thing you're going to hear all week. So it doesn't really matter anything else. You could find out tomorrow that your mom is in the donkey show in Tijuana, and it's not going to be as disturbing as that. So, why do you got to do that? All right. All right, we come back. We're going to get Mike. We're going to talk to Dan. We've got today's top five around the corner, and we'll have the worst piercing story you're ever going to hear. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rubba Rubba, it's like having sex with Scooby-Doo. All right, here's Sarah with the
so
traffic.
That is so creepy.
Don't you try to weasel out of this. Read the right one.
Okay.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. All right, I got this piercing story to get to. We're going to get a couple of calls, and then we're going to do today's top five. From Rolling Stone magazine today. Today's top five greatest albums of all time is compiled by the aging balding baby boomers of the Rolling Stone magazine. We're desperately trying to hold on to some sort of cultural relevancy and failing really almost every time they try that. But you know what are you going to do, Rick? Why don't you just have Matt do a best of on Thursday like everyone else? I can assure you, I will not be listening. Thanks for that. Not because I don't want to, but because I'll be stuffing my face from 1:30 on until I pass out from food and wine. Please try not to do anything too original or funny. Well, there's never really a risk of that. Tony in the Coof. 503-250-1080 in Portland. Let's get Mike. You're on a cell phone. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KHK. What's up?
Hey, you know, I really appreciate waking up and hearing you giving it to Julie. That just kind of made my day. I mean, it just kind of put her in her place.
Well, I mean, it's not even so much me. It's just like anybody with a, you know, functioning brainstem can kind of. It doesn't really take a whole lot to knock the legs out of underneath Julie's arguments because she's
well,
just such a harpy.
Well, I'm the same guy who called a few months ago about the threesome. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it just kind of made my day. I was kind of chuckling, and
well,
it was kind of funny. And
well, I got to be here.
I can appreciate everything that she's saying, but I was more into the way you were handling it. It kind of just made my day getting in the car and hearing that. It just
well, I got to do the best I can to defend my gender. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Got to represent for the Y chromosome up in this. All right, there you go. That's Mike on a cell phone. 503-250-1080 in Portland. Let's get McMinnville full-time listener Dan. What's up, brother?
Hey, I was just looking at the new Entertainment Weekly, and they've got a new show on Bravo.
I wouldn't know because I haven't seen the new Entertainment Weekly.
It's
undoubtedly been sucked into some sort of a black hole.
Showdown.
Yeah, it's on Bravo. I saw an ad for that, actually. They showed the cast of The West Wing going at it poker-wise. So when does that debut? Do you know?
Tuesday.
All right.
The 2nd at 9 o'clock.
Tuesday, Celebrity Poker. Excellent. I'm all over that. Celebrity Poker.
And Affleck's playing, so I don't know. I heard he's a pretty good gambler, so that he might be the odds-on favorite to.
Well done. All right, cool. Thanks for the heads up. I'll be sure to take that.
Entertainment Weekly has a picture of Sean Penn on the cover. He looks like Charles Bronson now.
He's not bitching about Iraq again, is he?
He opens up. America's best.
He's got something to
shield.
What
do you think about President Bush, Iraq, and Bill O'Reilly?
Anytime Sean Penn is opening up about anything, it just means that he's got something he's trying to shill, man. He's trying to get you to throw a little few shekels his way. That's all it means.
Speaking of that, our game's on for Friday.
As far as I know, yeah, I think so. I believe our game is. Although we haven't. Can I just tell you, because Richard Nunn is moving to Florida. I don't want to point anybody. You know, I know people got families. I don't really have families. I don't have a family. I don't have, I don't have kids or anything. But, we got a lot of people that are. We got to find some backup people again. We got to get a larger group of people because the way it always happens, you probably know this out there. If you put together a game and it's like you put together like some sort of a poker game, a card game or whatever, like a Friday night, and then Friday comes and it's like once wives and children get their crack at your time, it's like you're getting nothing back. And so we'll hook up 10 people for a game on Friday, and then Friday night comes and it's 4 of us, and it's basically just the people without. It just ends up being me, Matt, the Low, and Trey. Because Trey's, Trey's daughter, will be obviously staying with the mom or whatever. And then the three of us who don't have any kids. So, and we gotta double up the number of people. Well, Entercom, there's like 900 people working in Entercom. We're gonna just put out one of them. They're doing one of those mass emailings they're so fond of there, where they CC everybody all the way and down to the janitor, about every, the latest firing or something. They'll just CC, all 795 people in the building every time one of their sales bloodbaths happens over there.
Or Mary in Chattanooga just had a baby. Let's wish her well.
Yeah, you'll get some guy from the Philadelphia station that has, his bagel's been stolen, and so he's got to tell us all on the West Coast about it.
I'm sure there's a few people down there in Intercom that would want to get in on the game.
Probably. Let's get this. We've got so little time. Let's see. Who is this? Oh, this is one of our former 1080 girl, or our 1080 girl who was at Billy Reed's anyway, but who was, I think, out of town for the last listener party. Billy, what's up?
Not much. How you doing? I was watching my city burn for the last one.
How you? Oh, that's right. You were stuck in California.
Yeah, I was in San Diego for it.
Cool. Well, what's up, sister? What do you got?
Well, all my family's out of town, and my brother left me, so I was going to call and bring my apple pie for Thanksgiving, but since Kristen's bringing hers, I'll bring broccoli casserole instead.
I think we all give thumbs down to broccoli casserole. Without even surveying the room, I can tell you right now that's something that no one here is going to eat. You're going to bring it, we'll smile, we'll pretend that it's something we cared about, we'll act nice, and then we'll throw that away probably as soon as you leave.
All right, I'll eat the whole thing myself and bring apple pie for everyone.
All right, there you go. That's what I like to hear.
And I agree with you, by the way.
About
the whole thing with Jolie?
In general? Yeah, well,
Well, no, some of my really good friends now were guys that I considered dating, and then we, we did it and didn't like each other. Okay, well, we'll just go to Friendship Kingdom now.
See, that's what I'm saying. There you go. There's Billy, one of our 1080 girls. It's as Elijah Muhammad once said, you do not realize a glass is dirty until a clean glass is held up next to it. So it is with Jolie. I mean, if I wasn't here to sort of be a contrast, if Kristen wasn't here to be a contrast, if Billy there or Sarah wasn't here to be sort of, to present the other side, you might think that Jolie was sane. We all, of course, know that's not the case. Here's your top five.
Five, four, three. three, two, one, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's
the best thing to do.
Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Wait, hold on, but he asked her before he even asked.
Well,
asked
I don't know exactly how it came down, but Sarah says, now, can Justin come play?
Did Justin ask her for permission to ask us to play?
Damn straight, that's the way it should be.
So your boyfriend calls up just now, and he asks you for permission to ask us if he can play.
Well, he has to fight through me. I could screen him out if I wanted to.
All right, screen a few other things out, it sounds like. All right, you've got to know that
I told him he could, though.
Now, you've got to know that when on poker night, it's a night where we're together as men, and we discuss things as men discuss them. And he may be exposed to things that, well, I mean, you've got to know that there's going to be things discussed and things that take place that you can't know about.
Okay. Things that's fine. I have my friends, too.
Things that you and your womanhood, secure though you are, you may not approve of. So you've got to know that... That at no point will Matt and I will never ever be able to reveal anything that goes on at Man Night, and we won't be able to tell you. We won't be able to, as long as that's okay with you. You understand that you're turning him over to Matt and I with the understanding that we can't reveal anything that takes place at the Man Night.
You guys aren't that crazy. I think I trust you.
Okay, there you go. Here's Tim Riley with today's top five.
And as they struggle to remain relevant in an ever-changing world, Rolling Stone magazine joins the list of, well, list makers. For this month's issue, they attempt to shoot the moon with this, the alleged top five greatest albums ever made.
These are the top five albums of all time according to Rolling Stone magazine today.
Honorable mention going to Marvin Gaye and What's Going On.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you die.
Yeah, you can't really argue with that.
You know we.
I mean, I don't even really know what I would... I don't even know how I would create such a list.
To bring some loving here today.
I will say, if you ought to pick up this month's Rolling Stone, which is a thing I don't really say a lot because I don't like to encourage purchasing this magazine.
We don't need to.
Rolling Stone is just sort of this... You know what it is? Rolling Stone is like your grandfather. You know, did you ever do this? You find old pictures of your grandparents and they used to be full of life and vim and vigor. You see some picture of your grandfather at 25. Totally, you know... Totally looked full of life, ready to go take on the world, and now he's just some guy that wets himself and has to suck his meals through a straw. That's what Rolling Stone is. But there's a whole series of great Absolute ads in this month's Rolling Stone. Absolute Sex Pistols, Absolute Queen, Absolute Judas Priest. The Absolute ads in this month's Rolling Stone, they alone are worth the purchase price. You should check it out. Yeah, Marvin Gaye. You can't front on Marvin Gaye.
This whole list isn't surprising or shocking either. Number five, The Beatles with Rubber Soul.
Kind of nervous. I mean, you could do... The thing is, you could do this list in your sleep if you're Rolling Stone. They picked all these songs that are just sort of unassailable, all these albums that you can't really criticize. But this list takes no risks at all. That's the problem with this list. These are, again, the top five albums of all time, according to this month's Rolling Stone. It's on the stands right now. You're not the same. Great little guitar line there from George Harrison, though. And this got a great Paul McCartney, you know, sort of that rasp that he does so well. Great little pop song, and it's got the great... Rubber Soul, by the way. Well, we'll get to it later on. This is the number five selection, Rolling Stone, the Beatles' Rubber Soul.
And at number four, Bob Dylan, Highway 61 Revisited.
How does it feel to be without...
Bob Dylan, by the way, has got like nine albums in the top 25 here. This Rolling Stone top... They do that... What it is, it's the 500 greatest albums of all time. Like in the top 30, there's like 10 Beatles records and 10 Dylan records. Can I just tell you this? Can I just say something? I mean,
it's good that nothing worthy of the list, you know, was made after, what, 70?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, apparently no one at Rolling Stone has a record collection that is more recent than 1975. You can't take anything away from that. Look, I'll just say this once and for all. You know, you can't take... They're the Beatles. You know, they're the most important group that ever exists. You can't take anything away from them. Bob Dylan, one of the great lyricists of all time, maybe the great lyricist. But I don't know anybody that owns more than two Bob Dylan records.
Except for me.
Except for you. I mean, and that's no disparaging of the man. I mean, he's Bob Dylan and I'm not. But I'm going to say, I don't know anybody that owns... I don't know anybody that sits around and listens to a lot of Bob Dylan. I just don't. I don't know anybody that sits around and listens to a lot, you know, to a lot of these artists. It's like the Who, you know? I don't really know anybody that's a gigantic Who fan. I just don't. I mean, I know that the Who, and they're great, and they're fantastic, but it's like, at a certain point, you get these artists that we've all just sort of, I don't know, we've agreed that to say that, you know, that they're unassailable, but I don't know. It's like, I guess my biggest problem is the list, again, just doesn't take any risks. These are all very predictable choices.
At number three, the Beatles with Revolver.
Again.
Look at all the lovely people. Look at all the lovely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where
Ozzy Osbourne keeps talking about remaking this song, which I can kind of see in a weird sort of way.
Wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door.
All right, let's move.
Who is it?
Who is it?
Number two, the Beach Boys and Pet Sounds.
I mean, it's so hard. It puts me in such a... I have such a difficult time even talking about this because it's this real Hobson's choice, you know? Because you take this, for example. God only knows. Hands down, for me, I'm saying, this song, hands down, one of the great musical compositions of the 20th century. But you know what? I don't know anybody that sits around and listens to Pet Sounds a lot. I mean, there's me. There's me and some guys that, you know, there's some me and some guys, you know, who sit around record stores, you know, collecting 45 vinyl imports.
There's you and the guys in High Fidelity.
That's it, man. I mean, I know a lot of guys who sit around listening to the Beach Boys. You know, a lot of people dig the Beach Boys. You know, this, Wouldn't It Be Nice, Carolyn, No. I don't know a lot of people that sit around and play Pet Sounds all the time. It's a great record. It's a fantastic record. I don't really know that it's the second greatest album of all time, but it's one of those things that's just been repeated so frequently that we've just started accepting it as gospel, like without even questioning it. There you go, there's number two. And we all know, I don't even need to ask you guys, Matt, Rolling Stone magazine, Baby Boomers, what's the greatest album ever made?
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
You're so right! There you go. I mean, you can't take anything away from the Beatles. And again, this Day in Life is just like when playing God Only Knows. Day in a Life is probably the most groundbreaking musical composition of the last 50 years. I mean, I don't think you can make the claim that there's any single song written and recorded in the last 50 years that is more influential than this. This is, I would say, hands down, indisputably, the most groundbreaking recording musically. You know, of our time. But I mean, do you know anybody that just sort of, you go to their house and they've just got Sgt. Pepper playing all the time? No.
No.
Of course you don't. I mean, Sgt. Pepper is great, but it's undoubted, it's also indisputably one of the most overrated albums ever made. I mean, no one's really to sort of say that Sgt. Pepper is great, but it's hugely, vastly, fantastically overrated. All right, well, what are you going to do? All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk to Eddie KOTK. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, text 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. I'm looking at this Rolling Stone list some more. You know, I figured out, I think there's probably like a mathematical formula to doing a list like this. I mean, you start off with number one, which always has to be Sgt. Pepper. And then the top 20 has to have several albums or artists that people claim to be hugely inspired by, but who no one actually listens to, read Patti Smith. And then you've always got to put artists on there that you name check to show how deep your musical knowledge runs, but artists, albums that no one has ever owned. There's this guy, and some of you kids out there who read the music magazines know what I'm talking about. There's this guy named Captain Beefheart, who shows up on every goddamn Rock and Roll Critic's Greatest Artist list, and no one owns anything by him. No one you know, no one your friends know, no one in your family has ever bought a Captain Beefheart record. But in the same way that the New York Dolls consistently and constantly show up on these lists, so does he. And it's so rock critics can continue to pretend that they are smarter than everyone on planet Earth. As I believe David Lee Roth once said, rock and roll critics like Elvis Costello because they all look like Elvis Costello. You know what I mean? So they do this thing where they consistently and constantly broaden and widen their parameters of what is acceptable rock and roll, so they can put things in that only they own. That's what this list is made of right here. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. This is, it's from KWJJ, our sister station. This is our good friend Chuck Knopf. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm sitting in the back row of the Rick Emerson audience, and I heard you talk about the top five. You know what? All of those songs are popular. When I was in high school, okay, haven't they made a song that could break into those top five or top 10 or top 20? I mean, they've had, like, what?
It's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's like, I mean, you know what? I would probably, up to me, I would keep Sgt. Pepper when I'm number one. I mean, you can't, there's nothing you can say about, bad you can say about Sgt. Pepper. I mean,
no,
you know.
But the Beach Boys number two, or I mean, to me, when you, especially when you said about Captain Beefheart, because I remember him, and I don't know anybody.
No, no one owns it.
There
are artists that exist only so they can be name checked by pretentious rock and roll critics who want to impress everybody with how little of a life they have and how much music theory class they took in college.
There you go.
See also Frank Zappa.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine had burnt weenie sandwich and we played it over and over, but after you heard it about 10 times, you know, so what?
You know, once the drugs wear off, all that music is a lot less interesting.
Rick Emerson, you're the beacon on an otherwise sparsely populated AM dial.
There you go. We got to keep you around. We're just going to put you right here. We're just going to have you sit in a chair next to me. Just have you chime in with that sentiment every so often. There you go. That's Chuck Knopf. KWJJ. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. By the way, this is an egregious omission, and this is my fault and my fault entirely. From our top five breakup songs last week, that's Tuesday, the hell was I thinking? No, no, don't think twice. The hell was that about? I'm already working on that next list of my top five F-ups, so there you go. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK's tonight.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'll continue to complain about this list tomorrow, by the way, because it's the top 500 albums, and so just the breadth and depth of my complaints can't be held within one show. It's too much complaint for one show to hold. It can't be shackled or manacled or held back in any way. It's not human. It can't be reasoned with. My complaints absolutely will not stop.
Where's the first hip-hop album?
Here's another reason why this list is inherently. This is like the prima facie evidence right here. There is no hip-hop in the top 5, the top 10, top 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, or 45. You've got to go down to number 48 before you come across a rap album, which is It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by Public Enemy, which, in all fairness, is the same one that I would put on there. But, I mean, number 48... The fact that Carol King would rank above Public Enemy on any list like this should be all the evidence you need that this list is screwed. Jesus God. The fact that Public Enemy is outranked by a Bob Marley album. As though anybody needs more than one reggae song. You know what I mean? Just hit the repeat button, man. You're not going to know the difference. You know, it's all the same to some smoked-out college kid at Reed. You know what I'm talking about? It's like... You know, your dad's trust fund buys enough drugs that you can just use the one Bob Marley song over and over again. And let me just tell you this, too. I mean, of all the people I've ever known, who have owned Legend by Bob Marley. And I just say that none of them are non-college students, and none of them, for that matter, are non-white college students. I think fully 100% of the times I've heard Bob Marley's Legend record playing, it's been in or near a dorm room somewhere, which I think in and of itself should disqualify it from being on any sort of a list of the best anything. See also Dave Matthews. All right. Tomorrow we got Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero on the show. We got Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. We got another Top 5 coming up. Jolie from the front desk. More details on the upcoming Thanksgiving show this Thursday. And undoubtedly more disturbing nicknames and sexually salacious poems from Michael Jackson towards young boys. Maybe we'll get more nicknames tomorrow, like Squishy. You know, or whatever. Oh, I never got to the piercing story. Ah, oh, goddammit. We'll do that tomorrow. All right. We have the next CNN radio correspondents, Jim Rupin, Ed McCarthy, Kristen from Accounting, Jolie from the front desk, Halle Berry, Brendan Fraser, the Beatles, Robert Wagner, General Mark Kimmett, and y'all. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Bye.
Well, I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.